shadow. He is watching over me. I feel the rain, I hear the thunder as he cries for me. I'm standing in my Savior's shadow. Grace will lead to where I'm free. I take his hand, we walk together. His light shines on me. Though the devil tried to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. I'm standing in my Savior's shadow, following his footsteps there. Every mountain, every ocean, he is my every prayer. Though the devil tried to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be.
Where do I want to go?
Though the devil, how about that? Though the devil tried to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be.
We'll have to write this an ending in.
Thank you.
with paper, make it older. Throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army proud. Search for something more to meet our needs. The word was, the
word is,
and the word will be.
And the word was.
Taking care of others. Chronicles is always an interesting one to speak from. And it opened up the Chronicles. Why? Because as you know, Chronicles does a lot of stuff with detailing, of course, the chronology of Jesus. You know, who birthed what, this is his dad and his son, and da-da-da-da-da. And however, this part of Chronicles, it actually opened up to chapter 18 and 19. 18 actually talks about David's victories. There must be a message in here, otherwise I wouldn't have this open right now. So let's see what they've got going on in David's victories. Okay, so here in chapter 18. So it said, In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And he took Gath and its surrounding villages from control of the Philistines. And David also defeated the Moabites, and they became subject to him and brought tribute. That's actually an interesting one. Okay, so you'll notice that he says he defeated them and they became subject to him and brought tribute. In America, we call that taxes. Right? Tribute means you got to give it. No choice. If you don't want to end up in jail or you want to stay alive, you're going to pay. You're going to bring tribute. Moving on. It says, moreover, David fought Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, and when he went to establish his control along the Euphrates River, David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. You guys know what that means, hamstrung the horses? Where's Bruce? Yeah. Well, hamstrung, in a sense, so they couldn't run, they couldn't do the thing, they could just, you know, they actually cut the, well, the hamstrings, I guess, is actually what they do, don't they? They cut their hamstrings. You know, yeah, right. It's like, you know, why'd they bother, right? Like, maybe they wanted to eat them later, I don't know. You know? Yeah. It's like, okay. But many times, you know, God would command that the Israelites would just wipe out everything. But that's not what it's saying here in this case at all. That wasn't happening at least with David. Now, back in the time of Moses, that was a big thing. You know, God said, go in there and wipe them all out. And actually, that's probably real. That right there is one thing most people don't get. Because I didn't for many time. Why would God, you know, a loving God, why would God say, go in there and just kill everybody? Genocide, right? Because it is. It's genocide. Kill everything. Kill every man, every woman, every child, every animal. Just scorched earth. Well, the reason God would do these things is because God was cleaning house from all of his fallen angels, okay? So, and this is actually detailed much better in a book called the Book of Enoch. I don't know if you've heard. Have you heard of the Book of Enoch before? Okay. The Book of Enoch is what's called a non-canonical book, meaning it didn't make the cut into, like, the King James Version. Right. No, actually, it's not. It's actually not. However, the Book of Jude is in the Catholic, is the Bible, which is not in the... Not Jude. Jude's in King James. I'm thinking Titus, actually, is what I'm thinking of. There are some with that, but some didn't make the cut. So for the King James Version, this one didn't make the cut. Book of Enoch didn't make the cut. And probably the biggest reason it didn't make the cut... Have you read the Book of Enoch, Tom? Okay. The Book of Enoch does a really good job of filling in the gaps. Because what happens is all of a sudden you're reading in the Bible and you're reading about these giants, Goliath and all and the like. And you're thinking, who's Goliath? You know, where'd he come from? Six fingers, six toes, you know, so big. His spear was the size of a weaver's beam. Where, I mean, that's a big guy. I mean, you know, that's using that as a spear, right? And so actually that comes from the fallen angels. Okay, so in the Book of Enoch, it clarifies that. The angels that were cast down from heaven were cast down into earth, and they mated with human women, which is where the six fingers, six toes things come from. And this is an abomination unto the Lord, all right? This was not what God had intended. And that's why he would tell the Israelites, go in and wipe out every single one of them. They all got to go, you know. Because by today's world, you know, what would you say? You know, well, gosh, that sounds like Nazi Germany, right? We're going to wipe out a whole race. But that was God's thing. They were born of evil. And it was an evil race to the Lord. So, yeah, but a lot of people, I didn't get that for years. Like, what's this all about? But the Book of Enoch helps clarify that. Now, Enoch... So you had Adam, and then seven generations you have Enoch, and seven generations you have Noah. So Enoch's kind of right in the middle there. But also in the Book of Enoch, you have our 24-hour day, our 365-day calendar, even though a lot of people attribute that to the Romans, to Gregory, Pope Gregory, with the Gregorian calendar. That actually came from the Book of Enoch, you know, way back. God actually established all that. Now, the concept of purgatory actually comes from the Book of Enoch too, because it talks about a place between heaven and hell, or actually between earth and heaven. Actually, so there's a lot of interesting things. But I wasn't here talking about the Book of Enoch, so I digress. But understanding why? Okay, so when the Armenians of Damascus came to help Hadazar of Zobah, this is help a fight against David. David struck down 22,000 of them. He put garrisons in the Armenian kingdom in Damascus, and the Armenians became subject to him and brought tribute. Bruce, we were saying before, brought tribute, a.k.a. pay taxes. Okay. The Lord gave David victory everywhere he went. So David took the gold shields carried by the officers of Hadazar and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Tebah and Kun, towns that belonged to Hadazar, David took a great quantity of bronze, which Solomon used to make the bronze sea, the pillars and the various bronze articles. You guys know what the bronze sea is? When the temple was built, and this is kind of fun, because you remember David wanted to build this great temple to honor God. And God said, David, you've got too much blood on your hands. You've wiped out too many people. You've killed too many people. You know, you can't have you do that. So he had his son Solomon assigned to that. So David did all the plans. David made all the deals with all the kingdoms around, got all the cedar brought in, got the bronze. Okay, this is where he got the bronze. And David laid out the whole design for everything, but he didn't build it. Solomon actually built it. Well, what the Great Sea is, one of the traditions that they have in the Jewish culture was they'd have to, the priests especially, they would have to bathe before they would perform, you know, the sacred duties. And the bronze sea was literally made of bronze. And I'm trying to remember how they described it. It was huge. It was probably about the size of that area up there where the altar is. Okay. And I can't remember. It was like 3 feet deep or something. It's like a big bathtub. All right. Yeah. But just think about that back in that era. So they made this thing out of bronze, and I don't know if it leaked or not. You know, I mean, think about the craftsmen, the handiwork that had to go into that. It's amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. So that's so here's David collecting all this stuff, you know, before he hands all that over to him. Let's see what else. And when Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the entire army of Hadazar, king of Zobah, he sent his son Hadoram to King David to greet him and congratulate him on his victory in battle over Hadazar, who had been at war with Tou. And Horadin brought all the kinds of articles of gold and silver. Okay, so now check this out now, right? So you got now this neighbor who's not been at war with David yet, suddenly says, ooh, it doesn't look very good for me. Let's be proactive. So what's he do? He brings all these gifts, right? Oh, you gotta love. It's still the same today, isn't it? So King David dedicated these articles to the Lord, as he had done with the silver and gold he had taken from all these nations: Edom and Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and Amalek. And Abishai, son of Zeruiah, struck down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. And the Lord gave David victory everywhere he went. Now, the one thing that's really interesting with King David is while he was very blessed here, you recall in later years, you know, he let himself fall into sin, particularly with Bathsheba, who was married. And you remember the way the Bible tells it is David was out walking around, you know, up on the upper levels of his palace. I don't know if it was actually on his roof or whatever, but he could actually see down on the roofs of, you know, all the little homes around. Well, many times people would bathe outside on the roofs, you know, because they thought it was private, right? You know, they're up on that, but David could see this. So he sees this woman and go, woo! All right. So he calls her in. All right. He calls her in. Things get a little friendly. And next thing you know, David gets word from her later, like, I'm pregnant. Okay. And guess what? Guess where her husband was? He was a warrior. So he hadn't got her pregnant. All right. All right. So this is David's illegitimate child now, right? Right? Right. You're not illegitimate. She's not illegitimate. I know that. She's cute. So what are you doing anyway? So she's distracting me is what she's doing. She's doing a good job. All right. So then what happens is David says, uh-oh. So what's he do? He calls back her husband from war and says, you need a rest. You need to take a break. You know, go hang out with your wife, right? In hopes that he would sleep with his wife. All right. Okay? So he's hoping that he would sleep with his wife and then, you know, la 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 la. All right, but he refuses to go sleep with his wife. He said, oh, my garrison's out there, you know, they're all in battle. How could I possibly pleasure myself, you know, while everybody else is still fighting? So he sleeps outside the king's gate. So now David's got a problem, all right? You know, so he brings a guy in, he tries to get him drunk and everything, and get him, still ain't happening, all right? So finally the guy goes off to battle. So now King David is desperate. He's got this, a woman who's not his wife, got her outside, right? He's got Bathsheba pregnant, all right? And here she is now. So what's going on? So what does David do? He commands the leader of this garrison to take this guy and put him in the front lines where the battle is, and he gets killed. All right, he gets killed. So at that point, you know, he dies. They go through a little bit, and he ends up marrying Bathsheba now, okay, and brings her on in. However, God, there's earthly consequences. There's forgiveness is real, but there's always earthly consequences. And the earthly consequence in this case was the baby. The baby died. Baby was born. Baby got sick. Baby died. And what David did through this is David knew the reality of this. He messed up. This is the punishment for it. And of course, like any adult would do for a child, they say, oh, please, you know, don't hurt the child. You know, hurt me. Take my life. And that's David's pleading with God. Did you know that? So David's pleading with God, say, oh, you know, please, please, please. And he is, he's fasting, he's doing all these things. And then after a few days, his servants come in and say, hey, the child is dead. And David gets up, cleans himself up, and, you know, he's done with his mourning time now, okay? And that, it's over. So, the people that told him this, they ended up asking, well, why? You know, why are you doing this back? Because it's backwards. Normally, you know, the mourning time comes after someone died, but he ended up mourning ahead of time. David knew what it was. Well, as it turns out, then Bathsheba ends up becoming, she gets pregnant again. She's his wife now. She gets pregnant again. And that's where Solomon comes from. King Solomon, okay? Comes from Bathsheba. So again, David wanted, one of the things David didn't always like God's house to be in a tent. That's how it always was. God's house was always in a tent. The Israelites traveled around. They set up a tent. That was the temple. So David wanted to build it. God said, no, you've got too much blood on your hands. And ends up giving that privilege to Solomon. And of course, Solomon on his entire reign had just peace. He had no wars. All right. And that's pretty awesome, especially in that era, right? God just gave him incredible favor. And as you also know with Solomon, they gave him great wisdom. You've heard it said, you know, the wisdom of Solomon. And that's and of course the book of Proverbs, it's all from Solomon. The Song of Songs is from Solomon. There's a number of books that he written. But even the queen of Sheba had come to visit him to see what is this guy all about. And Solomon had many, many great acts of just incredible wisdom. He had one of the most interesting ones is there were two women each had a child recently, and they were living in the same house. The one had, in her sleep, had rolled over on the child, smothered the child, and the child died. So before the other one woke up, she took that child, small child, she took that child and claimed it as her own. And of course, the other one says, wait, that's not mine, that's mine. So they end up in front of Solomon. And of course, the two women are each saying, this is mine, this is mine. So how's Solomon going to figure this out? So finally, Solomon says, bring me a sword. So they bring up a sword. And he said, I'm going to cut this child in half and give you half and give you half. And immediately the actual mother of the child said, no, 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 no. You give her the child, you know, give her the child. So at that point, obviously, he knew. So he gave the child then to the real mother. So cool little things like that Solomon was good to do. It's all kinds of fun. Isn't it fun? It's all kinds of fun indeed. So here's our brief little Bible thing. Because we always have fun on Thursday nights talking about that. Don't ask me how we got to Solomon from Chronicles. Actually, I guess if I listen to the recording later, I'll figure it out. Actually, no, I didn't have to do a do-over. I worked it. I worked it. That's how I got to Solomon. but anyway, these are good things. My friend Tom, how are you? How is your world? What can we lift in prayer for you, my friend?
Amen. All right. Well, Lord, I thank you for your time of fellowship here. I thank you, Lord,
for how you bless us and how you love us. Lord, I thank you for the peace that has been flowing through, especially for our brother Tom. Because in his role of being a guardian, dealing with so many people and having to watch so many lives come to an end, some probably many tragic, I presume. But I thank you, he has peace right now. And these are good things. So I thank you, Lord, for just continued peace and for continued blessings that just flow and flow and flow. And I thank you, Lord, for peace upon the Armstrong family. As I said goodbye to Mom, Grandma, Great-Grandma. It was an honor to be there, guys, to hear that. I love hearing love hearing about how families like that, where you have those good memories, and especially to find out I wasn't the only one raised the way I was raised. There actually was a standard, maybe. But it's good, but peace, just continued peace, man. And what a blessing it was to have Brandon there singing and doing. I was really touched, man. I really touched it. The Spirit was moving. It was good, really good. Thank you, my brother Bruce. You get your tests. You passed with flying colors. I know you're going to study hard.
I'm going to hit it out of the park.
But we thank you, Lord, for a good report. Good report for Brother Bruce. You're just fully healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, brother. The soles of your feet. Thank you that Donna's here today. How awesome. How awesome. Glad you could be here. And I just speak great blessings and joy and peace. Thanks for clicking for us, too. These things all come together. Lord, we're lifting up Debbie and Linda right now for these this infirmity junk coming against them, this coughs, cold stuff. I thank you, Daddy, that you bring them peace, that you bring them restoration in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're lifting up Sandy and Leroy. Peace for her. New heart for Leroy. I know that this heart has been, this operation they did and the pacemaker. I thank you, Lord, that everything gets fully stable and this kidney is made fully whole. Fully whole in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for touching Jim Reckle, as he is made fully whole, never has problems with that pancreas again, as it is at full peace and perfect healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for those that aren't here now. So we lift up any concerns in that from my mom. Actually, she had some people she went and prayed for yesterday, I believe it was. So I thank you, Lord, that your word and your healing flow for those people she prayed for. And I thank you, Lord, too, for Todd Taylor, who's not here tonight, but is here with us in spirit, Lord. And I thank you that you bless him with some stability and work and life and just peace, the peace which surpasses all understanding. So we lift them up and we proclaim the victory in the name of Jesus. Let's join me in the Lord's Prayer. Say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.